Good evening, everyone. This is Chuck K04K, and welcome to the Bakken Amateur Radio Society Fusion Radio Net. This net operates on and through the Minnesota Wisconsin room number 21493. This is an open technical net, but please check in through net control. Tonight's net control stations are K04K, Chuck, 80MIP, K9EQ, Chris, N0YQ, Steve, Whiskey 4, India Oscar Delta Otis, November 0, Juliet Oscar Lima Joe, November 0, Papa X-Ray Tango, Shane. Got a pretty good crew tonight. Let's see, we're moving on. The Bakken Amateur Radio Society takes its name from Earl Bakken, who is the founder of Medtronic. Earl was always interested in radio and is a founding sponsor of the Pavic Museum of Broadcasting. Earl allows us to use his name because he's a strong supporter of learning, experimentation, and helping others. You can learn more about Bars and Earl at www.w0mdt.com. The 444.075 and the 444.525 operate from the Medtronic facility near Highway 10 and I-35W in Moundsview. Please remember there's a chat window available at hamoperator.com. Select MinWiz and then MinWiz Chat. Net Control will only be taking check-ins from stations with traffic for the net. Please reply with your name, city, and state. We'll acknowledge your call and put it on the order received. Remember that there is a chat window available at hamoperator.com. Select MinWiz and then MinWiz Chat. All right, I do have one announcement for the net. Coming up on June 12th, Hams in the Park, Long Lake Regional Park, starts at noon Central Time. Hopefully we'll have a good turnout this time, as we've had for the last few. And if you have friends of yours and local ham groups out of state, now set one up for yourself. Set up a Hams in the Park, and we'll see if we can make contact back and forth between the groups. Is there anybody else with an announcement for the net this evening? Well, you don't have to do Hams in the Park. You can do Hams in the Backyard. Just set it up yourself. Noon Central Time, and see who you can get. But hearing no more announcements, we'll start the check-in portion of the net. If you have a comment or a question for the net, please check in now. Name, city, and state. Go ahead.
This is KG4LUL, KG4LUL, Eric in Chester, Virginia.
And I've got a question. I've been looking at hamamperator.com, and I'm very confused. I have an FT2DR, which I have run through a laptop to run Wires X, but now freshen. Using it as a mobile node. And
all right, we had two people that came in there. We've got Kilo Golf 4 Lima, Union Lima, Eric out of Chester, Virginia, and Kilo Alpha 2 Yankee, Carlton out of New York. You did double with Eric, and I'm going to ask that you run everything through net control. So you gave us your call sign. We got that down, your name, city, and state. And then wait for net control to call you. It just makes things run smoother that way. So first up on my list is Kilo Golf 4, Lima, Union Lima. Eric, go ahead with your question or comment.
Well, thank you, and good evening to the net. I just want to say, from what I've been listening to before the net, the amateur radio community is awesome in the fact that we were able to help locate some guy's radio and call the person and get him to deliver to his house. That is outstanding. Could not have done that in the analog days, so digital is pretty awesome. And hope everyone's having a great evening, and I'll stand to the side here. KG4LUL 73, back to the net.
And I have to agree with you, Eric. It was interesting listening to people from thousands of miles away steering the guy into the right direction. So, you're right. Hams are awesome people. Next on my list is Kilo Alpha 2 Yankee Carlton. Go ahead with your question from the beginning, and we'll see if we can help.
Okay, this is Kilo Alpha 2 Yankee, and I'm relatively new to Fusion. Haven't done a whole lot with it, except I run through a hotspot, and I hope I'm not doing this incorrectly. I use the Wires X function on the FT2D here to get to this room. But my other, the biggest question I have, I've used this FT2D with the cables to connect it to a laptop and run Wires X. And looking on the hamoperator.com website, it appears, or at least I'm perceiving, that this can actually be a portable node radio. And just want clarification, or am I just pipe dreaming? Back to net. This is KE2Y.
All right. Well, thank you for a great question there. I'm going to turn that one over to Otis. Whiskey 4, Indy Oscar Delta. Why don't you go ahead?
All right, Chuck, I'll do my best to help Carlton out. I think the question involved Wires X and what he was actually running. I heard him mention hotspot and actually connecting into the YSF reflector, which is a completely different system. Maybe I need to do an intro to that. But YSF is the same technology, C4FM digital, ones and zeros. As the technology we use on System Fusion, and it's not proprietary, it's open source. That's why you have the YSF reflectors and all that. Wires X is proprietary to Yaesu. You have to have a Yaesu radio to actually access into the Wires X system, which means you have to register it with Yaesu, and then some of the folks run bridges for the tunnels or hotspots in. So the question is he in PDN, or what mode is he in? Well, there's two different choices when you register that radio with Yaesu. So FT2, you can have a personal digital node, which means you can connect node to node, or you can put it in portable HRI mode, which means you can connect to various rooms, whether it be analog or digital. Which MinWiz is a mixed room, will handle analog and digital traffic. You have to have the associated cables connected with that. But with the FT2, when you're running the software on the computer and it shows Wires X, you are in portable HRI mode. If it says PDN, you are in personal digital mode. Now, the big difference of that is you're not going to be able to get into any rooms. It's a node. So you can go head-to-head, node-to-node, albeit a somewhat private conversation, but just think of it as rooms, multiple connections, nodes, as far as the PDN, one connection. So that's how that works. It all depends on which three buttons you hold when you start the FT2. Chuck, hopefully that helps Carlton out, and with that, I'll turn it back to you, W4IOD.
All right, thank you, Otis. And Carlton, did that answer your question for you?
This is KE2Y. It partially answered the question for me. Yeah, I have run it in PDN mode and in portable HRI mode. But in looking on the ham operator website, there was some stuff from K9EQ that gave me the impression there was some way of doing maybe the portable HRI mode from the car without a computer. And I understand there's some software. And I'm on a limb for my own good. Back to that.
All right, well, let's do this. KNEQ, Chris, can you step in here and try and help us out? I don't know where he's reading it on the site, but I'm turning it over to you. Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Chuck. I'm not sure what you're getting at. One way or the other, you have a computer. In the case of using Wires X, you're going to have a Windows-based computer. So for most people, that usually means a laptop, which is not terribly convenient. However, the little hotspots, and I see you're using one now, they're a lot smaller and easier to manage. They have a computer in them, but it's not a Windows computer. It's, you know, running a version of Linux, which doesn't take much compared to Windows. You don't even need a display and a keyboard to run them. So the ability to, you know, travel across the country and connect in hotel rooms and stuff like that, in my opinion, is a lot easier with the hotspot. And MinWiz is one of the rooms that does bridging between YSF and Wires X. So, and the same, we've arranged it so that the Wires X room number 21493 is the same number as the YSF reflector number 21493. So your pre-programmed room numbers in your radios will work on either one. So that's about, you know, the story. I guess I don't know if there's something that is being missed there or not. Go ahead.
Okay, Chris, K90QK2Y. Okay. Yeah, you're clearing it up. Papers or comments on the website that I was trying to figure out. So, yeah, I'd love to. I like Fusion. It's got by far the clearest audio. I do DMR D-Star and DMR D-Star and this. And I like this a lot. Trying to find a way around an HRI 200, et cetera. And I was even wondering if I could run this in the FT2 in access mode on portable HRI, and then maybe an FT2 or an FT70 to be the actual talking radio. Okay. You've got enough for me to sort out my head for a while. And I'll let the net continue on, and I'll do further research and probably climb in again next Monday night. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Back to the net. KA2Y.
Okay, and I'll just follow up and add, yes, you can do that. I wasn't sure quite what the question was, but yes, you can take the Wires X software, install it on a Windows computer, plug it into your FT2. The FT2 is one of the radios that will work, and use that as an access point. Although it's really be recommended to run it on low power and a few other things like that. You know, you'll have to get some cables and stuff. John Crook at Casey has published a number of things on it. He likes YouTube, so hopefully you enjoy sitting around watching YouTube for hours to get your question answered. Anyway, over to you, Chuck, K9EQ.
Thank you, Chris and Carlton. Excellent question. Thanks for a good start for the night. with that, looking for more people with questions or comments for the net. If you do have them, give us your name, city, and state. Questions and comments. Go ahead.
Victor Alpha 3, Tangles Alpha, Nova. Tim, in and out. Good evening, Chuck. Have a good night. 73, no truck traffic. November 0, Uniform Lima.
Yes.
November 0, Uniform Lima, over.
All right, we got three of them that time. I've got Victor Alpha 3, Tango Golf November, Timmy. Good to hear from you again. Been quite a while. We also have November 0, Union Lima, James, and Kilo Echo 8, India Charlie Sierra. So November 0, Union Lima, James, go ahead.
Good evening. This is Andrew UL in St. Peter, Minnesota. I just have a comment. You guys do a wonderful job in keeping people informed and keeping them up to speed on what's happening. And that's about it for me. Andrew UL. Over.
All right, Jim, thank you very much for the compliment. And off to Kilo Echo 8, India Charlie Sierra. Brian, Wheeling, West Virginia. Go ahead.
Good evening, Chuck. Yeah, this is Brian. I think this is the first time I checked into this net there. I've been searching around trying to find all the nets and get them in a list there so I can... If I'm not... No. Yeah, but that gentleman that one uses a node radio, from my experience, really connect to but it gets. I haven't messed with too. That transmitting like the sure you put in direct really, really warm there. My experience from with my FT3. Well, that thanks for letting me check in there, Chuck, and everybody else there. Take care and stay safe. 730. This is K8ICS back to net control.
All right, Brian, we didn't get a whole lot of that. You were breaking up rather badly. We would get a word and then a blank and then a word and a blank. But thanks for trying to check in on the net and help us out. With that, we're looking for more people to check in with comments or questions only. If you've got comments or questions for the net, please check in now. Name, city, and state.
Roberto, W-A-N-I-E. Glendale Heights, Illinois. Traffic.
All right, Whiskey Alpha 9 Echo, Roberto, Glendale Heights, Illinois. Go ahead with your comment or question, Roberto. I'll try it again. Whiskey Alpha 9 Echo, Roberto, go ahead with your comment or question.
All right, hi, Chuck. I was afraid that was happening. System was trying to time out on me. Anyway, it was in the process of holding on to the connection. Did receive some replacement finals for the FT100 and for the FT400 a couple days ago. There is a new part number. The new part number is G as in golf, 309-0166. Got three of them, and we're going to put them in a couple of the radios that need them, and have one as a spare, and see how they behave compared to the others. These are all first-generation radios that have failed in UHF or VHF transmit, dropped down to like maybe 2 watts of power from 45 with a maximum of 2 watts of power. So my helper or my technician associate did get some from RF Parts before we got the information from Chris. And those have been installed, and we're going to see how they go. But after Chris said that, I reactivated my account, and we've been buying them from Yaesu. And I just wanted to make everybody aware of the new number. The old number, the suffix was 157. The new number is 166. WANIE. That's part Q1504. It's a combination for VHF and UHF. It's a combined power output device.
All right, Roberto. Well, thank you for that. And let us know how things work out with the other generation ones and then the new ones. Hopefully you won't need to use them. On my list, I missed it before, is Whiskey Hotel 6 Quebec, James, out of Hawaii. It looks like, if there was no audio, but if you want to try it, James, go ahead now.
I apologize, but I picked up my handheld while that fellow was cutting in and out, and I hit the key button. Anyway, my name's Jim. Says James, I guess it's where I registered. Anyway, it's my repeater here. I listen down in the hill. Sometimes I pick up a tidbit that I'll use. Anyway, right near Pearl Harbor. House Bay 73, sorry I ski up on that minute. WH6Q.
No problem on that at all. We get to that often, so I'd just like to check and make sure that you didn't have a question for the net. It's kind of fun to talk to somebody all the way from Hawaii, so, well, welcome to the net. Glad you enjoy listening. With that, I'm going to throw out another call. This is Chuck K0RK of Bakken Amateur Radio Society Fusion Radio Net. If you've got a comment or question for the net, this is your chance. Name, city, and state.
Down K9EQ.
Anybody else with a comment or question for the net? This is your chance. Check in now. Name, city, and state. Go ahead.
Tito, Charlie 3, Foxtrot, Bravo, Mike, Frank from Parkville, Maryland. Comment.
I think we had a couple of doubles there, and I think Chuck turned it over to me. I'll find out when I unkey if he did or not. Anyway, we've been talking about the availability of radios, because there have been shortages and things like that, and there's definitely shortages in the electronics industry. Microcontrollers and things like that are lead times are out over 1 year at this point, a year and a half, which seems unbelievable. One of the microprocessors I'm working with that is in that category, it appears to be an issue with getting the chips packaged, not making the chips. But one thing I did notice is that in the U.S. here, our vaccination rate for COVID is not doing too badly. Here in San Diego, we have over 50% of the population completely vaccinated, and other parts of the country are doing quite nicely. However, I note on the news this morning, Japan is not. Their vaccination rate is at something around 4%, which is pretty pitiful. And they're hoping to have like 50% of the people over 65 vaccinated by July. I'm suspicious that this is causing some of the problems with equipment that is actually manufactured in Japan. And ICOM and Yaesu do manufacture a lot of their stuff in Japan. China is not, you know, China is essentially fully open, and they have been for quite some time, so they seem to be able to crank things out okay. But I'm suspicious that COVID issues might have some impact on some of the deliveries from Japan, and it seems to be hurting ICOM a lot more than it is Yaesu, but you can imagine how something like that would be localized. Anyway, more info. Back to net to K9EQ.
All right, thank you, Chris, for the update there. And we did have one other station that called in that I got on my list. Kilo Charlie 3, Fox Bravo Mike, Frank, Parkville, Maryland. Frank, why don't you go ahead with your comment or question?
Thank you, Chuck. This net is very informative. I really liked it. I've been listening to it for about a year now. And I got myself a PDM, so I'm going through my computer and my 100 drag, and everything worked out really well. It's a lot better than buying one of those 200s, and you had to have a radio, then you had to have everything hooked up for your internet and everything through your modem. And also, this is really a great situation here with the Wires X and with the PDM. It's really nice. It's a lot easier to get a hold of people, and plus you have all the rooms on your WireX software that comes up, and you can see who's in your room. This is a great job. You, Otis, and Chris are wonderful on your information that you give out. Okay, this is KC3FBM, and back to the net.
All right, glad we were able to help you out, and that you're enjoying Fusion. That's what we're here for, is to make things happy for all kinds of people. If you've got a comment or a question for the net, let's get you on the list. Name, city, and state. Go ahead now. All right, looks like we got a comment from Otis. Whiskey 4, Andy Oscar Delta. Go ahead.
All right, Chuck. Well, we live in changing times, so I figured this might help some folks out. I know we've discussed it here on the net as far as the quarantine period and what have you as far as what's going on out in Cyprus, and really good news as far as what Chris is saying as far as the vaccination rate. So hopefully Yeezy will get back to some sort of normalness if the folks in Japan will get on board. But apparently, there's another way that the Yaesu is requesting you contact them if you have an issue. For quite some time, the Facebook page has been their preferred media. Not my preferred media, but Yaesu themselves. So N9UPC, John Crook, and some of the, you've got the different variants of Yaesu, whether it be System Fusion, or what have you. He's changed his podcast, and I think he's actually doing a poll on Facebook or whatever. But instead of contacting them on social media now, he's saying there's issues with them being able to approve the post and et cetera, et cetera. He's asking folks go to yaesu.com and either email them directly or give them a call if you know the party's extension or the person's email address to look out for security issues as far as someone actually on Facebook without the official at yaesu.com email address. And those podcasts are available, I guess, on a weekly basis is what he's going to go. It used to be a lunch thing. I think the last one was the questions that he couldn't respond to on Facebook. So he did a podcast on it, and I think it was about 20, 25 minutes long or something like that. But he's asking folks that need to contact Yaesu directly to do it through the Yaesu website. So there you go. It's a changing scenario. So don't rely on Facebook or other social media posts to contact Yaesu. Hopefully that'll help some folks out, Chuck. W4IOD, back to net control.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that, Odie. And you know, things keep changing. We have to do what the customer, well, we're the customer, but what they want us to do so that we actually get through. So thanks for the heads up on that. Okay, if you've got a question or comment for the net, now's your chance. Name, city, and state. Let's hear it. All right, we had a no audio from Victor Echo 7, Hotel Union Radio, James. If you want to go ahead and try it again from Langley, British Columbia. James, go ahead, see if you got it.
My apologies to the net. I was moving a radio over from one place to the other in part of the room here, and I guess I clicked the push to talk quickly. No, I have nothing. I just was listening in. I went in to hear what's going on in your Fusion net, and quite happy to hear what I'm hearing so far. Thank you.
All right, well, appreciate that, and thanks for being part of the net and listening in. We accept whoopses, too. Been there, done that, I'm sure we all have. With that, looking for anybody else, part of the net. It's the good part. You get to ask questions, have comments, and we try and answer them. Try and stump us now. If you've got a name or a name, if you have a question or a comment, go ahead.
I have a question. That was a for real. WH6QGM, Haiti, Hawaii.
All right, Whiskey Hotel 6, Quebec. Jim, go ahead with your question.
Okay. Not all the time, but many times. There are conversations, and I hear primarily, I hear them on the Texas Nexus, where the one guy's talking to another guy, and the other guy never has any audio. And there's nothing to be cranked up or anything. That's just no audio at all. As if he's talking in another mode other than wires X and not coming through any kind of a bridge system. So is that what, am I figuring that out? Is that what I'm hearing? That somebody that's going in at the digital level into something that's not actually wires X type setup? Or is it just an anomaly that I have here? I'm running a JC repeater with a HRI-200 and a computer, you know, a whole repeater system. And most people I hear, but there are people that have been conversations and never put any audio out on the analog mode. I run on the repeater in strictly FM. Back to net control, WH6FU.
All right, a couple of things there. You are using analog, so if whatever you're listening to isn't set up to accept changing to analog, or they don't have an analog output, or if whoever it is coming in doesn't have an analog input, you're not going to hear anything. Let's see. That's one thing, or you could have your audio adjusted incorrectly so that they can't hear you. I see that AI5 AI Don is in the MinWiz chat. So, Don, are you available to take a question about conversations on Texas Nexus?
37 SQS.
AI, he and I have talked before, and I, outside of a PDN, Chuck, I don't know what else there would be, you know, PDN without the audio cables. Back to you, Chuck. AI5, AI.
All right, Don, appreciate you coming back. It's good to hear your voice. having the correct cable set up correctly. Yeah, that makes a difference. KV7SQS, Lance, out of Idaho, Twin Falls. Go ahead.
Yep, I will just echo what Don said. People who are running PDNs, if they're not going to run the analog cables, have no business being in HRI mode. They should stick to the PDN mode and stay out of the rooms that do both analog and digital. Just my opinion, Chuck, KV7SQS.
All right, Lance, well, thank you very much for that. And Jim, did that help you with your question there?
Well, it sounds like it's the same conclusion I came to, that there are people using, or a lot of them, well, maybe not a lot of them, maybe just particular ones, that don't run the analog part or bridges properly. So I agree with the idea of going the other way, but there's hardly anybody gets on the repeater, my repeater, as it is. But, and if I go to V4FM or automatic switching mode even, and I think a lot of people don't understand that automatic switching mode very well, because they'll flip their key and they just make it switch, and then it comes out wrong and all. That's why I decided just to stay on FM. But what I do when it starts, I just usually try to break in there and disconnect, because it's kind of irritating listening to a big carrier for a half an hour at a time when people get in a big, long-winded conversation with no analog. But that was the conclusion I came to, and I think Don told me that when I confirmed what I thought that's what it was. Don, then you'll hear guys running in PDN mode with a laptop with a mic in it, and the mic will be picking them up. But, you know, I can hear them doing that, so that was how I decided that's what I was hearing. Anyway, I enjoy listening. I'm sorry I keyed up accidentally there, but it's easy to do. It just happened that the carrier dropped when I picked up my HT, and I had a hold of it by the push to talk button, which was not right to do, I suppose, ever. 7-3, guys, good to listen to. WH6Q, near Pearl Harbor.
All right, there is one other thing you could do, is you could set your repeater to digital-digital, and then there would be no question about switching back and forth. Jim, thanks again for the question, and we'll throw it back out there. This is Chuck, K0ORK, looking for more people with questions or comments for the net. Name, city, and state. Go ahead, Nat.
Hey, I5OS, Justin in Austin.
W9AUV, Terry in Batavia, Illinois.
Victor Alpha 3, Echo Zulu, November, Jim, Aurora, Ontario, Canada.
All right, we got a couple, three of them that time. I've got Alpha India 5, Oscar, Sierra Fox, Justin in Austin, Texas. Whiskey 9, Alpha Union, Victor, Terry, Batavia, Illinois. And Victor Alpha 3, Echo Zulu, November, Jim in Ontario. Alpha India 5, Oscar Sierra Fox, Justin, go ahead.
All right, real good. Yeah, the call is AI5OS. I've got an F in my... It is in my particular, it's in my radio, I have an F. I need to figure out, I'm running an FT70, how I can erase the F in my call sign. I'm totally blind. And I'm going to have to get a sighted person to help me do that. So, anyway, running a new little Yaesu FT70. And it's a neat radio, I like it. It's certainly is usable. I do wish the menus didn't wrap around. But I am curious if maybe somebody could tell me on the FT70, how do you, if you're in the my call field and you've got like AI5OS, How do you erase a character? Or is there at all a way to, if you hold down the function button to get into the menus, can you use the keyboard to punch in, like, number 64, you know, menu 64 or menu 31? Is there any way at all to do that? You know, to kind of navigate around here. So, anyway, thank you much. I'll go ahead and take the question offline. This is AF5OS. Back to now. All right, Whiskey 4 in the Oscar Delta. Otis, you've said you can try, so why don't you go ahead?
All right, Chuck. It's not one of those things where I play with the FT-70 a whole bunch, but if memory serves me correct, I believe it is menu 64. So we'll see what we can do about actually helping Justin out. As best as I can remember, it's the F button. There is no, this is an entry-level HT, Justin, so don't expect a whole lot of elaborate shortcuts, but I'm not aware of any menu shortcuts. It's press and hold the F button and then turn the VF no knob. I think 64 is the last one, so it's my call. And then you actually turn the VFO knob, and I think it's the band button that actually enters the character. So if you're wanting to take the S off of your call, is press band. You get over to the S and then turn the VFO knob to its blank and then press and hold band. So hopefully my memory has been questioned in the past, but right off the top of my head, I believe that's how I did it here. Hopefully that helps you out. W4IOD, back to net control.
All right, Otis, thank you very much. And, well, you know, that's the same thing. You're being blind, it's hard to tell which menu you're on because they're numbered and you can't see them. I don't know if you are able to program. I don't know if you have a keyboard and you can use software to program it, how that would work. Boy, that's a really tough question. Justin, I don't have a really good answer for you. Back to you, sir.
Well, I mean, it's fine. You know, I'll just wait until I get some sighted help. You know, one of my buddies at our local ham club can do that. Hoping maybe some of y'all can write into Yaesu and tell them, hey, look, please put beeps at the start and end point of the menus. So that way when you're turning the VFO knob, it will, you know, beep at you so that you at least have a point where you can kind of, for lack of better words, if you can, that way you can kind of figure out where you are, right? That would be really helpful if there's a way that, you know, and I'm not sure how this works, but a bunch of folks could tell Yaesu, yep, this needs to happen, because I'm assuming that the more people request that kind of a feature, the developers say, oh yeah, we need to put this in a firmware update, because something like that wouldn't be difficult to do. You know, it's just a matter of saying, look, we need beeps at start and end point of the menu, to make this radio work. Because other than that, I mean, this is a really accessible radio. It's definitely usable. It just needs a couple little tweaks to, you know, make it what I call field ready for somebody who is totally blind, right? I mean, I'm not banking on it ever getting speech in this thing. I mean, it's an entry-level HT, but if you're blind and you're out in the field and you need to do an EMSCOM event, you know, this is a good little radio for that very function, right? I mean, I've thought about trying to get like an FT3DR and kind of make some kind of template that I could use to make the touchscreen work, but I just don't know that as a blind person you'd gain anything from it. So I'm just kind of trying to figure some things out. But other than that, I like the HT. It's a really nice HT, and I like the fact that, you know, Fusion just works. It's really quite nice there. And another question I do have, I guess. What is the key? I know where the function key is. What is the button that is just above function? This is AI5OS.
All right, Shane, November 0, Pop X Rectangle chimed in on that one. It's the GM button, group mode. So, if you find the function button, you've got the group mode button right above it.
Okay. And how do you use that exactly? So, how does that work?
All right, group mode works best on Simplex. It's not going to do you a whole lot of good being sightless. It shows on the screen the different radios that are on the same frequency. So it would show a list of users and basically how long ago they've checked in so that you can see that everyone is still there. It's very useful, like doing a parade, that you can see all of your stations are there and in polling. You can talk right over the beep, or you don't get a beep, but and that's probably the best thing. Or if you're caravanning in a group of cars, you can see that everybody is still within range. That's how group mode works. And it's tap to enable and tap to disable. Back to you.
Ah, okay. Very interesting, yeah. Certainly something that would be interesting to play with. Alrighty, well, I won't hold the net up there, but I appreciate the help. This is AI5OS.
All right, and K9EQ, you had something to add to the sightless operation. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just thought I would mention that, you know, what Justin is talking about is a really important issue. And you can play with this yourself. You know, just close your eyes and program in your call sign. And there are some very simple things that can be done. The problem with the menu wrapping is, like, on the FT70 and really all the radios, when you go into the, you know, the menu mode where you can set all that stuff, it remembers where you were last time, and which may or may not be where you remember it was last time. And there isn't anything you can do beyond just looking to see what menu it's on to tell what menu it's on. So if the menus did not wrap, so like if you kept turning the knob to the left and you knew if you turned it enough, it would get stuck on menu number one, then you could go click and count down the menus. Of course, that may or may not work with some of the shaft encoders if they double count or something like that. There's no beep or anything like that to tell you that you're going down. I tried a trick here and it didn't work, and that was, I thought, well, maybe I'm in the menu. I could just enter the, you know, the menu number item. You can do that on the Baofeng. But that didn't work. And so one of the things that can greatly simplify things is that with all these menus, if the radio just makes a beep when it gets to the home or least valued or number one position, like in changing the call sign, it starts from where the call sign is. So if you don't know what call sign is programmed in, you don't have any ability to enter another call sign. I mean, ideally what you would like is, you know, maybe a some kind of a button that would reset it to blank, or when you turned on the radio, an option that all the menus and whatever reset to the one position, or something like that. So, you know, if we want to make Fusion available to as many people as we can, it would seem worthwhile that, you know, some of these simple steps be made to make the equipment available for sightless operators. And, I mean, it's tough enough, you know, to operate the radios. Can you imagine? You know, and, you know, if there was some thought put into it, you know, there might be some very clever things that, we could come up with that would make it much easier for vision impaired people to operate the radios. Anyway, where I'm headed to is this: we can all help with this. And that is to send an email or something off to Yaesu and say that you would like them to support vision impaired operation on their radios. And a very simple thing that they could do, in fact, that they could retrofit into all the radios, is what they do with beeps. And like the fact that when the menu gets to the initial condition, it just beeps. And like putting the call sign in, you know, when you get to A or something, it could beep when it gets to A. But, you know, something consistent throughout all the menus. Just adding that beep, which it could probably do in firmware on all the existing radios, you know, it could be much better than that. But it would certainly go from making it radio completely unusable to making it at least partially usable. One other issue is in the manuals. And yeah, Otis is saying here that Kenwood does much better with their radios for the visually impaired. And I would suspect that's true. I'm not even sure the voice module helps much on the radios that do have them. But another thing that really sucks with the manuals. And so if you put a graphic of which button to push in the manual, the text readers don't know what that is. And so it's saying, push this button graphic and, you know, to do this. Well, If you have a text reader, you have crickets. You don't know what button that is. So one thing that would be beneficial in the manuals is to actually describe the button or give the name of the button along with the graphic, so that the text readers will at least be able to read back the button that's being pushed. I don't know, maybe that's something we can do, is, you know, take a PDF of the different radios, and wherever there's a graphic for a button, go in and, or there's some graphic, maybe insert some text into the PDF so a text reader could have it. And Shane asks in the thing here, does the FTM 400 have speech? It does if you buy the speech board. I've never tried the speech board, and I'm not sure how good a job it does. Even the Kenwood speech board I wasn't thrilled with on the VM71A. Because it wouldn't tell me, you know, certain things about how the radio was set. Anyway, so I think that in the industry, a lot more could be done. And I don't know, maybe there's some, you know, little home-done projects that, you know, you could, you know, have a camera look at the radio and read back stuff and make it easier to operate. I don't know. Maybe that would be something. Anyway, that was my thing. So perhaps we can all let the ASA know that we would like better support for vision impaired users. Back to Net K9EQ.
All right, thank you, Chris and Justin. Interesting comments, and well, we know what we can do to work on it. Moving on, Whiskey 9 Alpha Union Victor, Terry, Batavia, Illinois. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is W9AUV, Terry in Batavia. I've got an FTM-400XDR in my car, and I like it a lot. And I'm thinking about getting another one for my other vehicle. But I noticed that DX Engineering has the FTM-400DR, and I know there's a difference between the GPS performance in both of those. But I don't know if it's worth $180 more for the XDR than the DR, if that's the only difference. So, anyway, that's my question. Would I be happy with the 400DR if I already have a 400XDR? Back to the net, W9AUV.
Wow, I didn't even think there were any more DRs available. Maybe they got some old stock from somewhere. Terry, you know, you pay your money, you take your chances. It's not that much difference. Oh, Chris just messaged me. Sorry, my tongue is dying here. The DR is not available. So that, unless they had one sitting on the shelf somewhere and it just got found, probably not available. Back to you, Terry.
All right, they list it on their website, but yeah, I'll have to check that out. Thank you. All right, W9AUV, back to net.
All right, and they just said it shows the price on the main index page, but when you drill down, it is not available. So, Terry, good luck. I hope you find what you need. And last on my list is Victor Alpha 3, Echo Zulu November. Jim, Ontario, Canada, go ahead.
Good evening, Chuck, and good evening to everybody on the net. Victor Alpha 3, Echo Zulu November, Jim, Aurora, Ontario, Canada. Chuck, the question I have for you, you were talking to two gentlemen, and I would imagine that it was about digital versus analog signals on Fusion, because those two gentlemen, I could see their call signs, but I had no audio whatsoever. Now, I got an FTM-100 running as a node in Wires X, and I got an SCU-40 going into my laptop, and I've got the USB for my audio, for microphone and for speakers. When I open the menu for transceiver on the Wires X program, the transceiver is digital, and the pull down menu, it's reading out. I can't change it to anything. Is there something I've got set up wrong here, Chuck? Thank you very much.
Wow. I'm going to have to ask for help on this one. Chris, are you available to try and help answer this one? K9EQ, if you would, please.
Okay, well, I'll do my usual thing of taking 5 minutes to answer a 30-second question. The hope being that understanding how things work make it easier to figure out what's going on and understand why these things happen. So the way Fusion supports both analog and digital on Wires X is that if you've got a digital station, you transmit both a digital and an analog stream to the server, and then the server, of course, transmits that back out. So if a user is coming in on digital, because you've got a digital node, how does the analog? Well, your digital node has a vocoder in it, and then it will convert it to analog, and out you go. And so the analog and the, you know, if somebody only has an analog, they don't have the vocoder, they can pick up the signal okay. So this explains the previous comments where a person was not hearing the analog conversations on Texas Nexus because the analog users can't generate a digital signal. And if you, or vice versa, if you have in this case it was somebody with like a PDN type of thing, you have a digital station and they don't hook up the analog connections to the computer, the analog is just silent, which is obviously the easiest thing to do. So you do have these two separate streams. In the case of Yaesu, I believe that for the PDN mode, you know, either the direct or the indirect, shall we say, they only permit use of a digital mode. However, you also need to hook up the cables, you know, to the computer to support the analog function if you want people on analog to hear you and you want to hear the people that are on analog. So, and maybe we can derive something from the letters PDN, a portable digital node. So there might have been a slight hint there that this wasn't going to do analog. So that's the deal. But Fusion is mostly digital anyway. I just checked a while ago on hamoperator.com to see what we had connected. We had 118 connections when I checked for the net, two of which were analog. So at least over here on MinWiz, and I suspect a lot of the, there are a few nets that are largely analog, but they're rare. There aren't very many of them. So for the most part, it is almost entirely digital. So the sad news, if you're in the analog domain, you're probably just going to miss out on stuff because it is easier to not connect the cables. And there you go. Back to you, Chuck, K9EQ.
All right. Well, Chris, thank you very much for the follow-up on that one. And Jim, did that answer your question?
Yeah, I think you know, Chris did a really good job answering it, and you know he's right. Like it's just every so often I'll get one person, and I go, wait a minute, what's going on here? How come I cannot hear them? But everybody else is fine, and I've even had analog stations that I know are analog, and they come through great. It's just once in a while I'll get some sort of a different station that, yeah, I'm not picking up any audio over.
It might be that they're coming in through one of the spots or something else that just doesn't handle it. But with that, I'm going to bring the net to an end. It's been a good one. Lots of great questions. Lots of interesting things come up. We'll be back here next Monday night at 7:30 Central Time, and we cover all things Yaesu Fusion. Thanks for listening to the Bakken Amateur Radio Society Fusion RadioNet. Please allow 1 minute for rooms that wish to disconnect before resuming use of the room. This is Chuck, K0ORK, and everyone have a great evening and a good week.
Kilo Echo 8, Romeo Uniform Delta. Kilo Echo 8, Romeo Uniform Delta. Hoping to grab one last question on the net. First time connect, so I'm not sure if this is appropriate, but I did have one question about an FPM 300.
Well, why don't we see if we can do something about your question with the 300? Oh, I don't have one, and I've never seen one. Maybe somebody will have an answer here. What's the question? This is K9EQ.
Roger that, K9EQ. The question I had, recently I just purchased the FTM300, got it installed in the vehicle. I have a 2019 Chevy Traverse, connected it directly to the battery as recommended by the manual. However, with auto stop start, whenever the ignition temporarily stops, it affects the radio and it automatically cuts off. Are there any aftermarket pieces of equipment that I could purchase?
Oh, that's interesting. So, on your vehicle, when the engine starts, it's pulling enough current so that the voltage drops low enough that the radio does a reset. The radio resets at about 10 or 10.5 volts, something like that. How old is your car battery? Is it possible that it might be getting a little on the little long in the tooth?
Actually, Chris, from everything that I can sense and tell from the vehicle itself, and as I said, this is a 2019 Chevy Traverse. I have it serviced regularly. It seems like whenever the ignition temporarily stops, starts in auto start mode, it causes a fault of some type that affects the radio. It doesn't appear to be a voltage drop. It appears to be an actual, either it's because it somehow sends a signal that seems like it's a short or something like that. I'm not sure technically, but I don't perceive it as being a voltage drop as opposed to a voltage polar difference, like when the wires cross, that will automatically turn the radio off.
Okay. Yeah, what the way these radios work is the processor in them is really running all the time. Power applied, you hit the on-off button, and, well, the processor has to be running for that to work, because otherwise how would it know you pushed the button? But when power is removed, or the voltages get low enough that the processor can't operate correctly, like a brownout condition, there is a circuit in there that basically says we're going to reset the processor. And so, of course, when the processor resets, the radio goes off. And there have been some problems in the past where, like, if the battery slowly discharges, like you leave the car parked at the airport for a month, and that brownout circuit doesn't detect it, you end up with some trouble. But the reset circuit also responds to the speed of the transition. So if it sees the voltage dropping quickly, it knows it doesn't have much time to get business done, and it's more likely to pull the plug quicker than if the voltage drops slowly. So, you hit the starter, the voltage is going to drop pretty quickly. So I'm pretty sure it has to do with the voltage drop. The solution to that is to electrically isolate the power supply for the radio from the power supply for the vehicle. There are a couple of ways you could maybe do that. One is you could, and I don't know how well some of these things would work, but if you, say, got some of these big old capacitors like the guys with the heavy thumping bass in their cars, when those amplifiers pump out all those watts to make the car vibrate and all the cars around it, that takes a lot of current. So they will get these large banks of capacitors and place them near the subwoofer for their car to even out the power. So, something along the lines of an inductor, come off the battery, run it through an inductor of some sort, and then maybe a good size filter capacitor. The inductor would cause, the inductor will store energy in it, and when the battery power supply collapses, it'll turn some of that energy into voltage. And likewise with the capacitors. The size of the inductor and the capacitor is going to be a lot smaller if you're only receiving when this happens. But if you're transmitting when this happens, you might need something bigger. So it may take some experimentation on your part. I have a pretty good feeling that's what it is. The best way to tell what's going on and get actual measurements is to use an oscilloscope and put that on the battery terminals and have it trigger for when the engine starts and see exactly what that voltage is doing. I think it would be impossible to make that measurement with like a DVM.
K04K.
I've seen a couple of solutions online that point to that. I'm not sure I'm as electrically inclined, but I understand the concept of putting the inductors and capacitors in line. The only other question I was going to ask, and this is just on a casual basis, but I have a Larson magnetic mount antenna, and I'm wondering, is there a better place to mount the antenna to get better SWRs? And if it's generally a 2-meter antenna, if I'm using on a dual band radio like the FTM-300, are there any tips for lowering the SWRs when I get to like the 443 megahertz level?
Yeah, I recognize you, Chuck. Generally, those antennas are not tunable. Wait, were you using a dual band antenna? Maybe I missed something there, that you're using a 2-meter antenna and running it on UHF? Is that what's happening? In that case, you want a dual band antenna for sure. Some other comments here while we were talking was that Shane N0PXT says he has an 891 that did that resetting a lot. A W0MTA added a second battery. And so anyway, I have a Chevy Volt, which does that, but fortunately I have a 10 kilowatt hour lithium ion battery, which tends to smooth those things out a little bit. Another thing is Samlux makes a DC to DC converter, which is kind of nice, because what it'll do is whatever the input is, it delivers whatever you want to your radio. And so you set it for, you know, 13 volts or something. And the nice thing about that is, you know, when you're sitting there, you know, I mean, the battery is never 13.8 when the engine's off. So the battery droops, you still get decent voltage to the radio, and something like that may smooth you through the spikes. But yeah, the oscilloscope would show you what you have to do to get it to work. But you can experiment with some inductors and capacitors. Kenwood makes a filter for their radios to use the same power connectors as Yaesu, which is a like an interference filter, but I think it's more to get rid of alternator whine than what you're talking about. I don't think that filter on its own would solve the problem. I'd be curious to know how low the voltage was getting, though. That would be interesting, or whether it's a very, you know, it's a very sharp drop-off, because sometimes these circuits will respond faster the faster the drop-off is. And of course, with the starter pulling current, it's going to be much faster than if you just pulled out the power plug. You know, it's going to suck the power back out of the radio. You know, now there's another thought. Use a diode. You know, so if you put a diode in series with the radio's power lead, at least it couldn't suck the power back out of the radio. And then maybe couple that with some capacitance or something like that and see if that solves it. Chuck, go ahead.
Just thought I'd mention here that both Pete and I have one, and both of us have run into issues restarting the vehicle. I've got the brand new AGM battery, the biggest one I can find in my Tacoma, and starting on a hot battery on a full charge, the radio still turns itself off. It is very sensitive to voltage fluctuation and turning itself off. Pete has run into the same issue. So it's a known issue for the users anyway,
but doesn't seem like he's who's paying too much attention. But I got to run now, so gentlemen, hopefully you'll figure it out. And the one thing that Chris said, the Samlex converter, well, maybe that's the way to do it, so there's no voltage drop to the radio when you're starting it. All right, 73 all, K0 4, K clear, and off the air.
Yeah, go ahead, Frank. I was just typing here, making some notes.
Roger that, Chris. I think what Chuck said, too, is probably along the same lines as, you know, same issue I'm talking about. And I think the voltage drop, as you stated, along with the solutions I've seen online with the inductors and capacitors. However, I was hoping for something like the Sanilux solution because I'm just not as much of a tinkerer electrically. So I prefer to have something that's a little bit more reliable than what I could probably build. But, yeah, I appreciate it, Chris. You guys probably didn't expect to have the long after-net question and answer, but I appreciate you staying on. Kilo Echo 8, Romeo Uniform Delta, Frank West Bloomfield. 73's to you, Chuck. 73's to you, Chris. I'll be standing by on your final.
Okay, well, it's, I guess it's good to, know about these things and at least add them to the database. Another note here, from Pete, 80MI, he indicated that, he has the FTM-300 and he has that happen with the 300 but not with the FTM-400, so. Sounds like they might have changed something with the FTM-300. But yeah, I've got the Samlex thing. It is really quite a handy thing to have, and if you do any HF at all, it is really handy because, you know, the HF radios absolutely have to have 13.8 volts. And it's not terribly expensive. It's built like a brick, you know what. It is just amazingly good. I don't know how they do it. It when you're not pulling any current out of it, it's like it's not taking any current. I don't know how they do it. But you can leave that connected to your car all the time. And no fears of that running down the battery because its a quiescent drain is negligible. And somehow it knows when you turn on your radio and off it goes. It's really well designed. And I think it was DX Engineering that had them. Yeah, DX Engineering, I think, has them, a 16-amp thing, I think, was under $200, but, man, that thing is solidly built. And then, you know, it also protects your radio from overvoltage and, you know, other things like that. It has quite a range of inputs, so it's a handy thing to have. Frank, thank you for your question. Let us know what happens, how you make out with that. And I gotta cut out of here, so... 73, Frank. Glad we could hang around and help you out a bit. That's a good question. KE8RUD from K9EQ.
Roger that, K9EQ. 73 to you as well. Kilo Echo 8, Romeo Uniform Delta, standing by West Longfield.
K9EQ, if I got your paper for a quick.
Yeah, I got to run, Pete. My wife is doing some stuff I should be helping her with, so I gotta run off and take care of that. But, I can give you a call when I'm done with working with her.
Hey, Roger. If it's in the next couple of hours, I'll absolutely be off getting my COVID shot. Okay, just quickly, new cars. I got sensors on the batteries, and that on both the positive and the negative. 2, charge on demand only. Right, so there's an issue. Only one leg of the cable should be connected to the positive, not to the ground. Should be connected to the ground chassis. That'll get rid of other noises. My 300's not affected. No problems with cranking. But the condition of the battery... is going to be taken into effect as they are only charged on demand. I'll leave you with that and I'll talk at you later.
Yeah, okay, we'll talk to you later. Yeah, I noticed that I had a rental a couple of years back, and I noticed that the battery would tend to charge as I was applying the brakes. So it isn't like a hybrid, but they were clearly saving battery charging to when brakes were being applied. And, you know, all that motion was obviously wasted. Might as well charge the battery with it. I figured it out by looking at a voltage meter on the battery, and I could see the voltage drop as the car was running, and then I put on the brakes and the voltage would go up. I guess every little bit counts. I think that was a Chevy. Anyway, we'll catch you later. 7-3, this is K9EQ.
Yeah, Roger. Just have the Renault's are going well. Quickly, too, mine's got a big diode on the positive side because of the car's stereo system that was factory fitted. So I'm tapped off of that diode as well. That does help considerably. All right, I'll leave you with it. And the newer cars, they cranked up the charging voltage. Because the problem with the battery's dying. A lot of people are blowing up batteries over here, not realising that the charging voltage has gone on the newer cars. And you can monitor your voltage in the car, on that set your display to read voltage instead of time. And you can see the alternator cutting in and out. Alright, leave you with that, and we'll talk at you later.
Okay, well obviously you need an electric car, but... AGM batteries. Well, it depends on temperature too. So I noticed that on my car when it's cold out. When I lived in Minnesota, it would charge at 15.4 volts, which when you look it up is the correct charging voltage for that kind of battery at that temperature. And 15.4 was getting a little sketchy for running the radios. See you later, K9EQ.